Good Wednesday morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Another American town is asking itself, why do our kids kill?
It's unreal. You never think about this happening at your school.
This time it's Jonesboro, Arkansas, where a 13-year-old jilted by his girlfriend and his 11-year-old cousin are charged with mowing down 14 students and two teachers, killing four girls and an English teacher at Westside Middle School. In all, they fired some 27 shots at those they drew outside with a false fire alarm. 12-year-old Michael Barnes knew the shooter who had warned he might kill.
He was going to come and shoot people and bring a knife to school and stuff. I never thought he'd do it, but he did.
Other students were bewildered.
I feel like I'm living in a nightmare. It's like I just can't wake up.
Can't believe something like this could happen in a small town like this. I mean, you always hear about it everywhere, anything, you know, never hear, you know.
This morning, Dr. Robert Beaton said the wounded are doing better.
The good news is that out of those six patients, we have one critical. The other patients have all been upgraded to stable condition. We are encouraged by this.
Jim Krasula is at the school this morning and reports live.
Bill, the two young suspects have been identified as 11-year-old Andrew Golden and 13-year-old Mitchell Johnson. They are to appear in court later this morning. Although this school is open today, classes have been canceled. Few, if any, students have shown up. The teachers who have arrived have been somber and quiet as they go inside. Special counselors and ministers are here to help students, faculty, and staff make some sense of this tragedy. Outside the school, white ribbons and bows adorn brick pillars and light poles. A handful of flower bouquets have been laid in the school courtyard near where the students were gunned down. Jim Krasula, CBS News, live in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Last night, the stunned community prayed and grieved. Governor Mike Huckabee blamed a national culture of TV and movie violence. President Clinton got word of this third recent school shooting in Uganda and said he was profoundly sad and disturbed by what had happened in his home state.
I'm going to ask the Attorney General to find whatever experts there are in our country on this and try to analyze this terrible tragedy to see whether there are any common elements in this incident and the other two and whether it indicates any further action on our part.
Arkansas, where Mr. Clinton was governor for 12 years, has no law prohibiting minors from possessing shotguns or rifles. The president visited Rwanda today and met some survivors of a 1990s tribal genocide campaign against the Tutsis and moderate Hutus, and he reflected on man's dark nature.
We are reminded of the capacity in people everywhere, not just in Rwanda, and certainly not just in Africa, but the capacity for people everywhere to slip into pure evil.
As we hear from CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller, the president's journey to Central Africa's killing fields is in part a guilt trip.
Despite the ceremonial dance of welcome by tribal warriors with spears and women in purple and blue costumes, there was nothing festive about Mr. Clinton's visit to Rwanda. After a meeting with Rwandans who witnessed or barely escaped the genocidal bloodletting that took up to a million lives here 4 years ago, the president confessed that world leaders, himself included, must share in the responsibility for being slow to recognize what was going on and respond to it.
We cannot change the past, but we can and must do everything in our power to help you build a future without fear and full of hope.
To that end, the president announced the U.S. would contribute more than $40 million over the next 5 years to establish systems of justice and conflict resolution to prevent a recurrence of the 1994 slaughter. I'm Mark Noller, CBS News, with a president in Kigali, Rwanda.
A 25-year-old Daly City, California woman will be arraigned today for suffocating her three daughters, aged 2 to 7.
This is the most evil thing I've come across.
Police Lieutenant Steve Lowe.
Megan Hogg smothered her three children. She did it one at a time. She bound their hands with duct tape, covered their faces with duct tape, and then smothered them.
Lowe said Hogg then took some pills in a phony suicide gesture. Dozing and driving don't mix. As we hear from newsman Howard Ehrenstein.
Nearly a quarter of people surveyed by the National Sleep Foundation say they fell asleep at the wheel sometime during the previous year. And spokeswoman Joan Goldberg says many drivers report they just don't understand how to stay awake.
They turn their radios up. In fact, 41% of Americans in our survey thought that turning up the radio would ensure that they stayed awake. In fact, it doesn't work.
Neither does opening a window. What does work?
Pull over, get a nap, or to have a caffeinated beverage.
But most of all, get a good night's sleep. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The Supreme Court hears arguments today in two sexual harassment cases. One involves a Texas student lured into an affair with a teacher when she was 14. The other, as we hear from CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadakis, summons up Baywatch.
The case employers all over the country are watching involves Beth Farragher, who worked as an ocean lifeguard in Boca Raton, Florida in 1990. From her first day on the job, Farragher says she and other female lifeguards were sexually harassed by two male coworkers. While the courts determined that Farragher was harassed, she is seeking to break new legal ground, holding her former employer, the city of Boca Raton, liable even though it did not know about the conduct at the time. And while more and more employers are instituting sexual harassment policies, Farragher says employers won't fully get the message until they're held liable for the conduct of all their employees. Stephanie Lambadakis, CBS News, the Supreme Court.
The government is red-faced over green cards, as we hear live from CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
For foreigners who've moved here, Bill, the green card or residency permit is vital, but an estimated 78,000 haven't been sent out. Officials at the Immigration and Naturalization Service now admit they have technology trouble with the new cards made by a machine in Vermont with scratches on the person's photograph or other defects.
They haven't been very forthright with regard to giving information to the public.
David Grunblatt, longtime immigration lawyer in New York.
People are delayed with regard to getting visas to travel overseas, to obtain benefits, to go about their daily life.
Though they are legally in this country, it's not easy to prove it. Live in Washington, Dan Revive, CBS News.
A Seattle man has been convicted of trying to extort $5 million by threatening Microsoft chairman Bill Gates and his family. Adam Pletcher's defense was that his letters were fiction. He now faces up to 20 years in prison. The Dow Industrials are flirting with the 9,000 mark today. They're currently ahead about 48 points. Outside Israel's parliament, red carpet honors for visiting UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. But inside, he heard the Knesset speaker denounce him. As CBS News reporter Robert Berger reports live from Jerusalem.
Bill Annan came under sharp attack at the Knesset from House Speaker Dan Tichon. The UN is biased against Israel, said Tichon. That brought a shouting match among parliamentarians. Annan looked bewildered and 10 minutes later walked out. Robert Berger, CBS News, live in Jerusalem.
Earlier, Annan laid a wreath at the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial. With him was his wife, Nain, a niece of Swedish diplomat Raoul Wallenberg, who saved hundreds of Hungarian Jews during World War II. And that's the World News Roundup for this Wednesday, March 25th, 1998. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News.